Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light. We're your hosts. I'm Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jeanelle Fury. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light.
Our guest today, Eric Sprinkle, is a former whitewater guide and swiftwater rescue instructor for the U.S. military. Today, he is an author and speaker who travels the country talking about the benefits of risk, managing fear, and living a slightly more dangerous lifestyle. Eric knows about extraordinary adventure after summiting active volcanoes in New Zealand, swimming with sea turtles in Guam, navigating the man-made canyons of Japan, and kayaking among glaciers in Alaska. Eric is the author of Adventure Devos and Praying for Someone's Salvation. Good morning, Eric. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you. Boy, this guy, who is this guy? This guy sounds incredible.
Doesn't he? He's incredible.
How often do you have your bio read aloud back to you and you're actually able to listen to it? Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic bio. Good for me.
I enhanced it considerably. You sold yourself way short in what you sent me, so I enhanced it.
I love it.
And did we miss anything, Eric?
I think you nailed it all. I think, you know, other than I'm a frequent guest on Step Into the Light because this is number two for me.
That's right.
Plus, he serves as what would you call him, MC for the Greater Philadelphia and Colorado Christian Writers Conferences, and kept us all on our toes and kept Marlene going with all the tech stuff. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh. Right. So now what? I'm an associate producer of virtual events. I'm an MC. I've got all kinds of plates spinning these days. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
When you're in a place that you're actually connected, right, Eric? Because that's a whole other matter.
Exactly. And let me tell you, nothing against Northern California, but what they do have is amazing, beautiful, tall trees. What they don't have so much is, you know, like high-speed internet and, you know, a million places you can sit down and do an interview with a couple of podcasting ladies. That's a little trickier to find, but we're making it happen in a little corner in the Crescent City Library this morning. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here, you guys. Thank you for having me.
So you created an amazing book titled Adventure Devos. Will you describe it a bit and tell us the motivation behind it?
Right. Adventure Devos. Devos being like the short, cool word for devotions. Yeah. Okay. So we're trying to be hip here. Adventure Devos I don't know if you've been. Well, there's not a lot of Christian bookstores, brick-and-mortar stores out there. But if there is and it's near you and you've gone in recently and you've gone to the devotional aisle, you've noticed that there is a slew of devotional books for women. And then you get this tiny little spot over there where it's devotional books for couples. And then somewhere down at the bottom in this little forgotten, you know, little nook that nobody ever dusts because it's next to the floor, that's where the devotionals for men are. And the question is, Gene, the question is, do people not write devotionals for men because men don't buy or read devotionals? Or is it that men don't buy devotionals because there's no devotionals written for men?
Right.
So Here I am, a professional adventurer, and I'm like, let's write a devotional for men. Let's get one out there in that space that if men are interested at all, they will read it. It will be full of, you know, vivid photos of amazing adventures and people jumping out of planes and waterfalls and whitewater rafts. You know, the cover of most women's devotionals is a flower,
right?
It's a pretty scene. It's a waterfall. Okay, so at our devotional.
You forgot the butterfly.
The butterflies, exactly. Our devotional, the cover is, it's a whitewater raft going over a class 5 waterfall. That's the cover of our devotional. And the idea was, yes, you know, it's written exclusively for men with a heart for risk and danger and adventure, which, you know, last time I checked, you ladies tell me if I'm right, that's every man, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Right. So this was 2018. We did it. Boy, I tell you what, I ran into my writing partner at a writing conference, the Write Your Answer series of conferences, their sister conferences. They have one out in Philadelphia. They have one in Estes Park, Colorado, up in the mountains near Rocky Mountain National Park. I was there. My writing partner was there. We found out we had real similar voices, similar tones, similar writing styles. And it was simplicity itself. What if I wrote 20, you wrote 20, we put them together, boom, that's a devotional book right there. Done and done.
How neat. And how long did that take to compile, Eric?
Well, we went a little different direction because, boy, every writer dreams of being handed a contract with an actual publisher. I tell you what, by the time my birthday, June 10th, came around, 2018, we had two contracts with two different publishers that wanted to publish our book.
Wow.
We said no to both of them. We chose to do this indie pub route, and we chose it because exactly what you're talking about. How long did it take to come up with your book? Like a year and a half? You know, maybe you fast-tracked it. Maybe it was closer to a year. No. Start to finish, concept to on a book table at a writer's conference for sale. Start to finish, 8 months. You guys,
wow.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yes, Indie Pub collaboration. There's Indie Pub done wrong. There's Indie Pub done right. This one, I'm biased, but I'm saying this is Indie Pub done right and done in record time, because that's what you can do when you're outside of the regular publishing norms. You can do it so much faster. It's amazing.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that sure is, Eric. That is quite amazing, especially after what Jean and I were just kind of discussing kind of a glitch that she's run into, and it's like, wow.
Right. Because I know you guys are writers. You've been to writers' conferences. You know how writing works these days. IndiePub was a little, it wasn't untested, but it was back in 2015 pre, then IndiePub was like, no. It was vanity publishing. It was ridiculous. Then it started to be more and more of an option. About 2018, I want to say, is that's where the tide really came in, and it was legit option. We chose it. We chose it over traditional publishing. That's how attractive IndiePub was. Now it's even changed, because now IndiePub has actually kind of morphed into this hybrid publishing model, where now you've got these a la carte options with people who are like, do your IndiePub, but partner with us to do it. And that's what I'm doing with, some of my more frequent books, but we'll get to that here in a second.
Well, Eric, if you would, you mentioned Samantha, she's your co-author. I'm curious to know, did you know her before the Colorado conference? How did you guys connect? Was it just over lunch one day? Hey, this is what I like to write. Yeah, so do I. Or
You get so many of these wonderful, godly connections at these conferences.
Yeah.
If anybody out there in your listening audience is a writer and you have not been to a writer's conference, you just got to do it, because you never know who you're going to run into. In this case, it happened to be the year that we were up in Estes Park. We were up near Rocky Mountain National Park. It's Colorado. It's May. The weather can be a little quirky. Well, in this case, the quirkiness expressed as 41 inches of snow over day two of the conference, overnight into day three. The event organizers were having kittens. They were going nuts. All us writers, though, well, hello, where are you going to go? I mean, everyone's inside next to a fireplace. When you're not in sessions, you're all just sitting around talking with each other, because there's nowhere to go. So, my goodness, yes, I'm surprised, 40, 50 book projects didn't come out of that conference, because, all we did was sit around and talk to each other the whole time.
I do remember that. Oh, my goodness. I just love snow. So I was just, over the top. I was so excited to see all that snow. And I was on faculty that year, and Marlene came over to the dormitory or whatever where I was staying, and she said, "Oh, Patty needs a ride." And I said, "No, I don't. I want to walk." And she said, "No, you will not walk. I'm not going to catch you breaking your leg walking over there to the auditorium." So I ended up riding with her. I was like, "No, this is my kind of weather."
I love it, right? And these event organizers, you know, these ladies, they're from back east. They're from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, New Jersey. So here's me and Patty and all the Coloradoans going, "This is not a big deal. This is great. We love snow. We need the moisture." And these people they're just flipping out. They're losing their minds. How are we going to get out of here? The town's being shut down. We think we might lose power. And Patty and I are like, yep, Maine, Colorado, you bet. You know, the snow will be gone by day three. Don't worry about it. Fantastic time.
Too funny. So, Eric, you had mentioned your original intention for this book was for men, but there are different versions for women and youth. How did you come to decide there's a specific need for those different audiences?
Yes, because you as writers already know, 80% of all books that are purchased by women. Okay, well, you know, that's okay. You know what? Women will purchase this book and they will give it to, you know, the man in their life. Perfect. Well, the problem was women were purchasing this book and they're not giving it to the men in their lives. We had women, we probably had more reviews for the women's book on Amazon than we did for the men's book originally. Women were grabbing the book. They were reading it. They were loving it. They were having a great time with it. So all of a sudden it's like, well, let's just do a women's version. Now, completely different book? No. Try and imagine, it's kind of that, the five love languages. If you look for the five love languages on Amazon or online, you'll see there's one book, but there's like 20 different flavors of it. There's the five love languages for men, for women, for married couples, for, you know, for couples that are engaged, for military spouses. We wanted to do the same thing. The idea being, let's get rid of all the male man-centric language and recreate the book in such a way that it would be more women-centric. The idea, though, at the end of the day was you are hanging out in bed next to your husband. You're both reading the same devotion. You guys should have the same experience, the same ideas, the same conversations. At the end of the day, though, the examples in the women's is different. And some of the dares will be different, right? Our applications, this is how our book is different than others, right? Number one, it has pictures. Number two, it has dares at the end. We don't have verses. We don't have pithy sayings or poems. We dare you to apply some of the stuff we're talking about. So that's the differences in the women's, the men's, and the youth, actually, as well. Same general book, different flavors of it.
Very neat. That's great.
I like it. Yes, that sounds quite intriguing, Eric. I didn't get to read any of these devos, but apparently you have different stories throughout these devotional, which is,
yeah,
you know, typical,
right,
of your devotional books. So is there a favorite story within any of these books that it's like, wow, I couldn't wait to share this one?
I I'm one of those terrible guys where, yes, I have a favorite. I actually have 10 favorites, and they're all like, they all tie for number one. We've got, you know, we've got the whitewater rafting one talking about, you know, once you're downstream, once you float past something, you're past. You can never go back upstream. And from that, we kind of explore the idea of you can't live in your rearview mirror. You learn what you can from your mistakes, from your successes, learn what you can and move on. Nobody can plow straight when they're looking over their shoulder, right? You need to fix your eyes on what's ahead, not letting the past, you know, take you and distract you or tear you away from what's ahead of you, as so many people do. We got that out of whitewater rafting. We've got rappelling. We've got caving. We've got, you know, Sam talking about the time some wolf just, you know, walked into her, you know, campsite early morning when she's sitting there all by herself. The sun's not even up, and here's this, you know, 250-pound predator looking at her. It's just, you know, fun stuff like that.
Goodness, wow. I've got to get those books.
Yeah, this is incredible. So you also wrote Praying for Someone's Salvation, Powerful Day-by-Day Prayers, Inviting God to Forever Change a Life with Laura Schaefer. So what inspired you and your co-author to write this book?
Right. So now I got to tell you, Gina, when you get a book idea that's completely outside your wheelhouse, like you, there's no way you would have ever come up with this idea. I'm an adventure speaker. I write adventure-y stuff.
Yeah.
When I sat down and got the idea for the 40-day prayer guide series, and this is the first book in the 40-day prayer guide series, Praying for Someone's Salvation. When I got the idea for this, I sat down with a pen and a napkin, and I sketched out the first four books in the series, what the back cover copy would be, what the subtitle would be within a couple of words. I kid you not, this idea came to me almost fully formed. And it's never something I would have come up with myself. Eric Sprinkle, you wrote a prayer book. That's correct. I wrote it with my author. But what happened was Laura Schaefer she is just one of these prayer warrior people. You, me, Patty, we've all sat in our little small group Bible studies or, you know, our breakout sessions at conferences, and someone's asked to pray. And here's you and me, and okay, you know what, we'll pray. But then there's always someone in that group that opens their mouth, out of which spills the most beautiful, wonderful, inspirational prayers. Yeah. Okay, Laura Schaefer is one of those people. So she and we had a conference, we had a writer's conference where Laura was going to pray through 6 weeks before the conference. She was going to pray through thoughts and ideas about the conference, bless the attendees as they're making their plans, help them to get the right flights. And then the next week would be bless them as they're getting their projects together, show them which ones to really come and share, that kind of thing. Okay, Laura would do the prayers. She would type them up as she prayed them. And then she would send those to me, and my idea was I would kind of meme them up and overlay them against a photo background. And then we would send them out and put them on Facebook. Wonderful. They were great. They were a hit. Everyone loved them. I don't know. Patty, do you remember those from 2 years ago, conference at Colorado?
I have to be honest, Eric, I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm not a Facebooker either, so I may not have even followed it.
And they were very, very Facebooky. Yes. Yes. So that was our social media push. Okay. From that comes this idea where I start talking to Laura. Hey, what if you prayed through some of these ideas I had, making a major decision, starting something new, recovering from a mistake? What if you went in the same direction, but you prayed towards these things? What if you did it for 40 days? What if we then took those prayers, put them all collected into a book, overlaid some of them on images in the book, and, next thing you know, the thing is done. Absolutely, she's on board. The result of that is book number one, which just came out, I think August 18th, I think, is when the first actual printed copy was in somebody's hot little hands. It's the 40-day prayer guide to Praying for Someone's Salvation. And oh my gosh, you guys, again, we kind of indie pub this. We partnered with Sherry Cowell's group over at EA Books to get some of the formatting and typesetting done, the cover artist we grabbed from her organization. But together, this thing is here. It exists now. And we have plans to go forward in this 40-day prayer guide series. The next one, 40-day prayer guide to praying a blessing for someone. We're going to do recovering from a mistake. We're going to do a youth edition where kids come up with all of it, right? What would kids want to pray for their parents? Well, we're going to go throw it out to a youth group, and we're going to make that happen. Absolutely amazing. And, of course, begging the question, why would I ever be chosen to write this? And the answer is, I don't know.
That's really wonderful, Eric. I got to say, what I really loved, what drew me to this book, in what you shared with us, the pictures are amazing. And I love that you offer breaks for the person who's actively doing this to reflect on how it's going for them. Because when you're so consumed with, I'm praying on behalf of someone, you don't necessarily consider what it's doing to you. And so that you offer that is
right.
Really neat.
Right. The shorthand we have for that is these you're going to do this for 40 days. And the introduction talks all about how, you know, God is very 40-day-ish, right? You know, the flood was 40 days. Nineveh had 40 days to get their act straight. You know, the Ten Commandments, it was 40 days. So 40 days, though, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is the shorthand we have for this is the prayers are for them, but the journey is for you. Yeah, Gene, you're gonna find out about yourself. You're going to deepen your relationship with God. You're going to find your prayer life changing just by being intentional about praying for one thing each day for 40 days. There's no way you can't learn more about yourself and change your prayer life. So that, yeah, we put every 7 days you stop and you kind of reflect. And you know, write some notes about what you're learning. What are you learning about the person you're praying for? What are you learning about you? Absolutely.
Right. That's so neat.
Well, Eric, I kind of wanted to follow up with that and ask you, and I hope I can ask this question in such a way that you understand what in the world I'm talking about.
Gotcha. Give it a try.
Okay. You address specific needs of the person or people for whom you are interceding in this book. Okay?
Yes.
For example, I have your back cover copy right here in front of me, and you talk about causing them to start questioning their own beliefs, letting them sense his presence in each day. Okay, do you feel that you, as the person who is interceding for this other person, should be the one to initiate that, or do you feel that you should leave that up to God to bring someone into this person's life that's going to do that? Does that make any sense?
Totally. And this goes in the direction of so many conversations we had about this book. Do you tell the other person you're doing this 40-day journey on their behalf? Do you share it with them? We came up with reasons why absolutely you would. We came up with reasons why absolutely no. This is between you and God, right? So much of this is so individualized, and I hate to go around your question, Patty, but it is so individualized. Your prayers and petitions to God on behalf of that person, your son, right, your brother-in-law, your in-law, you know, your boss at work, whoever it is you're praying for, every situation is going to be so different. Can I say, with any authority, with any confidence, yeah, there's going to be times when you absolutely want to, you know, be in that person's life. You want to actively, you know, jump in and you know, take a larger role in their life. I don't know that that's always going to be the case. Sometimes they're going to be on the other end of the U.S. and you can't get in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who draws people? Who draws people to God? You, me, right? Our prayers? No, the Holy Spirit. That's His job. So we're going to leave the Holy Spirit to do what He wants in their life and prompt us what to do on our side. But it all starts with this 40-day journey of praying for the person.
Thank you for that answer, Eric, because I really kind of struggled with that after reading the promo that you had sent me. And I thought, wow. And I know I have encountered situations with, you know, dear friends, family members whose beliefs are very, very different from mine. But you try to confront that, and all you do is get into a big argument that you're never going to win, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You just, people have been so deceived that you don't have the power to do that. The Holy Spirit does.
Exactly, right? You let the lion out of the cage, and he's going to contend for the truth claims of Christ. We don't have to be there making that case. We are called to have an answer for the hope we have. Absolutely. And if they're asking the question, well, then they honestly want to know what you have to say, Patty. But other times, though, we're answering questions that no one's asking, and it's not our place to prompt them to ask. That is the Holy Spirit's job. We connect with what the Holy Spirit's doing, not the other way around. So in this case, I'm 100% with you, Patty. That is the best example in the world of Absolutely not. I the worst thing I could do is try and insert myself into that person's life. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to pray and ask God to do what he's going to do and just be amazed by it. And if at some point he asks me to step in, then I'll be obedient and do that. Otherwise, I'm praying for him for 40 days. That's what I'm doing. And it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know, I can't remember, goodness, I read so many books, we've had so many guests on the show that yeah, I can't remember where I heard this, but I did hear one time, just like when you're talking to someone about salvation, you don't try to force a commitment out of them,
right?
Because then
right.
they're doing it just to please you. It's like, okay, get off my back, yes, I'll do this, you know, but it doesn't really promote a real relationship with Jesus. It's just lip service. It's not
right.
heart service. So I think we're talking about
I love it.
Same.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're kind of paralleling that concept with this discussion, Eric. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely. No, I love what you're saying. Yes.
We're going to take a little break here. This is where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with hosts Patty Sheen and Jean Alfieri. Our guest today is Eric Sprinkle. Eric has been a whitewater guide and swiftwater rescue instructor for the U.S. military. Eric is an author and speaker. He travels the country talking about the benefits of risk, managing fear, and living a slightly more dangerous lifestyle. Eric is the author of an adventure devotional series and also Praying for Someone's Salvation, which is also the first book in a series. So far, we've been talking about his books. If you would like to listen to this show again or refer friends and family, which we hope you will do, you can go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, that is spelled PattiSheene.com. There you will find a link to this show. You will also find links under the Blog Talk Radio tab to all of the shows that we have aired to date. Under each one of those shows, you will find a more information tab, and there you will find access to website and social media information for our guests. So we encourage you to check that out. Well, Eric, as you know, our guests on Step Into the Light share a dark time and their journey out of that darkness. You were on the show, as you mentioned at the beginning, several years ago. At that time, you shared a crushing loss you had experienced in your life that actually led you on your adventure journey. Have you experienced darkness in the time since then? And if so, would you share that with us?
I, for those who have gone back, and I'm sure you can refer back to that show if people need to listen to that. For those who have lost their spouse, I don't know that anything for the rest of your life. It's like these poor guys who are, you know, these astronauts who are shot into space. For the rest of their lives, no car will be ever be fast enough again to thrill them because they're done, right? And on the other end of the spectrum, there's no place you can go, I think, after losing a spouse or a child. There's no place you can go that you're ever going to be like, oh, well, that compares. It doesn't. I'm not saying that there aren't other, you know, hard times. Oh, my gosh, right. There's been, you know, so many hard times since then. And just opportunities to build your faith and trust God and truly say, you know, this looks like there's no way this is going to come about. But I'm going to trust God, and I'm just going to keep walking forward as if it will work out. And you know what? I'm going to leave it to God again. I'm not here to bring solutions. I'm here to trust and obey. That's my job. There's been so many opportunities for that, but they're all eclipsed by, yes, you know, the time I went Christmas shopping, came home, and called 911 to say I'd found my wife and she was no longer breathing. I don't ever expect that anything in life is ever going to be that dramatic of a change in life, the change that came about from that. But from that, you know, maybe this is a show where I focus more on the light side, stepping into the light. Penny, we're going to get to heaven and we are all going to have a good talk. about what needed to happen in this life. What, you know, did people need to die? Did God need to take people home from us that had such an impact in our lives? And one of the questions I'm going to have is, did my wife have to leave this life for me to be where I am right now?
Intense question, Eric.
Well, and I'm going to say, I hear from people who've read my books, and they have been stirred and inspired and impacted by those books. And I ask myself, Patty, would they have had that impact if my wife had not died? Would I be here doing what I'm doing, writing the books I'm writing, doing the speaking events that I'm doing? Would I be doing any of this if Christine was still alive, if I was still married to her? I honestly think no. God's omnipotent. God works through all things. Okay, so there's no question, right? You know, maybe I could have, you know, started a writing career if Christine had not died. But you know what? I know for a fact everything that I am, everything I'm doing right now came as a result of that tragedy in my life. And so, you know, I don't know. Did it have to happen? Did it not have to happen? I don't know. What I do know is, with assuredness, as a result of it, God is being glorified. Lives are being impacted. He is using me in ways I never could have asked or imagined. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be in the place I'm in life right now, even alone. I'm thrilled to be in Northern California right now talking with you guys on Stuff Into the Light podcast, right? So, I don't know.
You know who shared that same sentiment, Eric, that was on Step Into the Light not too long ago, and you remember her, I'm sure, from the conferences, is Louise Looney.
Louise, absolutely. My goodness, that girl.
Yeah. And yeah. She talked about that same thing, about how when her husband had cancer, she was 100% sure that God was going to heal him. There was no question in her mind. But then she said, after he passed, and she came to realize that there were a lot of things she has done in her life that she never would have done if that had not happened. So it does. It makes a person wonder. And thank you so much for sharing that. I know it's a very deep wound for you, Eric, and it precipitated a lot of sadness and grief. And again, I'm so sorry for your wife's passing, but thank you for sharing that with us and our listeners today.
I appreciate that. It's, you know, did every fiction book has to have an inciting event, right? The inciting event is, once upon a time, there was blank, and every day blank did blank, until one day, We all, I wouldn't ask for it in anyone's life, but so often you hear these people doing amazing things, and they all have that until one day, blank.
Right.
They all have that common thread. So I'm not going to ask for it in anyone's life, but I'm never going to question it when I do see it in someone's life. And that's what you gals are about. Step Into the Light, you are focused on that inciting event in so many people's lives and what comes from it. And that's the key, not the event, what comes of it. I love that you guys have made that a focus of this podcast and so much of your lives. I appreciate that tons.
Well, and thank you for sharing that again, because that is just such a hopeful message that, you know, it, and the time it takes, Eric, right? You know how much time it took you. You know not everyone's timing is the same, but being encouraged to know that there is light out there is sometimes all someone needs to hear, because it can just feel that dark sometimes.
You bet. You just never know what's going to be the end result of it. It's in it, you know, it all ends up good in the end, right? And if it isn't good, well, it's not the end yet.
Right. So now, Eric, in your speaking, you encourage people to get out of their comfort zones. Why is that so important? What is that all about for others?
Oh, I love that. I love that question.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, you know, the basic question, you know, my follow-up question is, okay, so what have you ever learned about yourself, Jean, in your comfort zone? Patty, when have you ever stretched yourself and been comfortable? The answer for both you ladies, of course, is never.
Right.
Never. Right. It's when we go. And it's not that, oh, well, Patty, you need to go bungee jumping to learn about yourself. No. What I ask people to do is find out what in your life is on a scale of anxiety, right? What you and I both start to get anxious right about 5 on that scale. Anything below 5, we're pretty comfortable with. Okay, so you know what, Patty, Jean, go find what's a 6 on your scale, and I'm going to ask you, go do that thing. Go take part in that thing. Take part in it for as little or as long as you want. But here's the trick. Take part in it and then come back. Come back to where you're comfortable again. I'm not asking you to go live in the woods. No. Come back to where you're comfortable again. But here's the magic. Here's the secret sauce. The next time I tell you to go do something that's a 6, you'll go back to that same activity, and it's not a 6 anymore. In fact, that and all the things like it, they're actually a little easier. You actually have this confidence now in yourself that you can actually go to 6 and it's not as bad. Your entire anxiety spectrum, if you will, has now shifted. Now suddenly things that would have been a 6 to you once upon a time, they're 5s, they're 4s. Are you kidding me? Like, you do these things, right? You do these things, you're eating popcorn while you're doing them. They're fun, right? They're exciting and they're fun. So this is where I try and get people in their lives, right? You know, turn off the TV, go outside, go exploring, right? Go get your kids together and play silly games like the ground is lava, so you can only walk on rocks. Fantastic. Go do that. And just, figure out things about yourself that you never would have found out on your own.
And you know what, Eric, I'll even offer you this. It doesn't, it's not only as stressful, but it actually becomes fun.
Right.
And I don't have any bungee jumping or whitewater rafting experiences, but going to my first author visit at a grade school was terrifying. And people are like, oh, you're just talking to kids. I'm like, oh, no, those kids are surrounded by teachers who are watching what you're doing, and that better be the best 15-minute experience of their life, or they're never going to invite you back. And I'll tell you what, I'm so past that now that I just go to enjoy those smiles, to see the hands waving, to have a hug. You know, they love your visit, and you have to enjoy that. And I believe that's what you're talking about. It's just enjoy the experience.
Exactly right. Because we are so wonderful at overestimating and underestimating ourselves. We tell ourselves we are going to be so fantastic at this, and we're not. And then we tell ourselves we're going to hate this. And we don't. We totally have fun with it.
Right.
So you never know. You never know until you adopt this strategy I give people. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Do it one time. And you don't have to do it much of it at all. You can go show up at that event with people who don't look like you, don't dress like you, don't talk like you. Show up at that event for 5 minutes. And you know what? Just introduce yourself to one person. And you know what? If you metaphorically, you know, kind of toss the ball to them and they don't toss the ball back, hey, you know what? You're done. Go grab, you know, some shrimp kebabs and you're out the door. You're done. You've done it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right? But the idea is give it a try. Step outside your comfort zone. Do that thing that makes you a little tingly, a little nervous. And it doesn't have to be bungee jumping. You don't have to jump out of a plane. Sometimes it's as simple as go talk to your local shelter about dog rescue.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so unnerving. And yet, ask Jean, she's got a million stories, no doubt, because I looked at your website, Jean.
Absolutely.
And I already know you've got a million stories about people who brought canine amazing love into their lives and they would never look back, but they had to give it a try.
Yes, absolutely.
Talking about dog rescues now, you guys. How did we get there?
I don't know, but hey, this is the perfect month for it because this is Adopt a Shelter Pet Month. I will remind folks about that.
Yes, thank you, Patty. October.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. If you want to get outside your comfort zone, I'm telling you, and you don't go rescue a dog. Don't go adopt a dog. Go anyway and just meet the dogs and.
Right.
have a great time just socializing the dogs and you know, and encouraging the people at the shelter. You don't have to rescue a dog. You can just go there and just be a part of it and just have a fun time with it, right? It's little steps, but boy, the minute you get there and some little puggy little dog steals your heart, well then what are you going to do? Say no? Say no to pug love? I don't think that works.
Right. Take him home and write stories about him.
Definitely. I know. I've switched to the other side now. I'm a cat lover.
And that's good too.
I know. I dogs just don't fit my lifestyle as much as my cat does. I can be gone all day and he couldn't care less. So.
Yep.
Perfect. And, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, Eric, you have stepped out of your comfort zone both emotionally and physically with many of the adventure challenges you've experienced. And I know this is a little bit off track, but I am so fascinated by some of the things that you have done. And I can't help but ask you, what would you say was the scariest, most challenging adventure that you have ever undertaken?
I know. And people love this question. And again, it's such a dodgy question because I've got a million things that were all scary. They were all challenging. They were all so fantastic and memorable and fun. And they all literally tie as number one on my list. I'm on this little road trip here as I'm traveling right now. I went out to a bridge, a concrete bridge, 100 feet, 90 feet the other day. And I rigged a rope and I like clipped in and rappelled off this bridge. And let me tell you, when you're stepping over the railing on this, this old bridge in the middle of nowhere, you are feeling it. You are feeling challenged. You are feeling dangerous. If your heart doesn't start beating a little bit faster, you're doing something very, very wrong. Okay. You should not be comfortable doing those things. They should always get you, jazzed and excited. But I'm telling you, this is what I do. I'm doing slot canyons, right? I'm wiggling through these narrow places where there's hardly any room for you at all. And I'll tell you one experience that your listeners may connect with a little more than me, like rappelling off a bridge. I was in a slot canyon. This was one of these wonderful, beautiful slot canyons, the light filtering down through it. There's a nice chill in the air. The sand is cool on your feet, and you're walking along, and it gets tight. And then it gets really tight, and you're like walking sideways through this thing tight, okay? Well, there's these wonderful little striated patterns on the rock wall to my left. It's sedimentary rock, so you get these horizontal layers through it, and it creates these zebra stripes, and these are fun, and you're just following along with them. Well, as you follow along, you look downstream, down the canyon, and you'll see these little lizards skittering out of your way, but all of a sudden, I saw something that was not skittering out of the way, and as I got closer, I realized, oh, it's a spider. And I kind of wiggle my way down a little further, and, it's kind of a big spider. Well, then I kind of follow the little striated pattern in the rock, and I realize he's at the level of rock, which is going to be approximately level with my chin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Spider, it's time to move, buddy. And I'm kind of making a ruckus and tapping the rock, and I'm moving my way down this thing. He's not moving. He's not going anywhere. And the closer I get, the fuzzier he looks. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do here? Well, for everyone out there right now who's like, I am turning off this podcast. I could, right, just kill it. Don't be a hero. Just kill it. Guys, I'm not that guy. I will tell you what I did is I absolutely removed every, backpack piece of gear that I did not need. And I basically sandpapered the right side of my face against the other side of the wall as I slid past this guy and moved on and enjoyed the rest of my journey. But I tell you what, again, does it get your heart beating a little bit? Do you look over there and imagine, and some little inner voice now says, I'll bet that's a jumping spider. And you're like, okay, we're out of here. We're done. We're gone. Yeah, okay.
Well, and that fuzzy, the fuzzy. I don't mind the naked ones, but the fuzzy, hairy ones are the worst.
It's what I'm talking about. I don't know what it is, but your brain is more equipped to be scared by yes, hairy, fuzzy spiders than, like, yeah, naked ones. I'm with you. Totally.
Spiders do not freak me out near as bad as bees and wasps. Anything that flies at me, yeah, that really freaks me out. But to see a spider crawling around, no, I'll pick him up and send him outside. Well, one time I had a
right.
I went to go to laundry, and there was this funny little thing on the floor. It almost looked like, you know how you'll get like a little bit of fuzz from a blanket? But I hadn't washed any blankets lately, and I went to reach down and pick this thing up, and it moved, and I realized that it was a little scorpion.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
The thing is, with the kind of rubbery, I tried to beat him with my shoe. That's what I did. And they don't start. I mean, they're like a piece of rubber, you know. And so I just kind of got this old plate that I really didn't care if I kept it or not, and I kind of scooted him onto there, and I scooted him outside. I think I did go ahead and kill him. I can't remember, but crushed him against the concrete.
See, that's what I'm talking about. And think how the spider feels, right?
Yes, that's what nightmares are made of. Those bugs that never die. They're coming back.
Probably like, hey, I have a purpose here, too. Who do you think you are?
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the number one reason to adopt a pet, be it a spider, be it a dog, be it a cat, be it a ferret, whatever you want, spider scorpion interdiction. Just send the animal after it, and I don't care. They can play with it like it's a ball, whatever you want, but I'm not going in the laundry room. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Cats are great bug hunters.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I must say, Eric, of all these adventures you've been on, I think we talked about this in the last show. My thing is height. Was today I have no balance, so it definitely isn't now. But, oh, man, I just always love to be in places where, like, you're on a cliff and you're looking straight down type of thing.
Yeah.
Here's the Grand Canyon and you're looking straight down. And when I took that trip on horseback that I told you about, we were on those switchbacks and you're on the back of a horse and you're looking down like 10,000 feet. Yeah, that's my thing.
Yes. You and me both. That definitely is where I'm drawn. Is it my happy place? No, it's not a happy place. It's like scary, but it's exhilarating as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I
totally hear you.
Online of you in Garden of the Gods, and it shows you up on this rock, and it's like, oh yeah, that is just too cool.
Right. They give you this poor photographer for the article, and it's like, where would you like to take some photos? And I'm like, how about if I get up there and do, some ridiculous little push-up bridge move across that, oh my gosh, right? This guy's like, sure, I'll shoot it.
Nice. You didn't tell him you have to get up here with me, huh?
Right? Exactly. It's always, you stay on the ground, I'll go do this crazy stunt action thing, and you just take photos of it. And guess what? If I fall on my head, well, then you get an action shot out of it, too. So that'll be fantastic. Win-win.
Oh, goodness.
You are too
funny. So, Eric, when you're speaking, who is your typical listening audience? Who do you present in front of, and what kind of feedback have you received from people?
Right. This is so weird. You know, one of the things that you'll get from National Speaker Association is, pick a lane. Choose a group you're going to go in front of. Don't just throw yourself out there to educational groups or to associations or government groups. There's all different groups. Okay, well, for me, well, what if I go for, like adventure-based nonprofits or something like that? And I've done a lot of talks for a lot of adventure-based nonprofits, and they're fantastic and they're great, but I wouldn't say they've been like the best received talks. The best received talk I probably ever did was to a community-based group. It was, I would call it a bunch of do-gooders, if you will. They were all entrepreneurial 20 and 30 somethings who were involved, actively involved in their community. And they all came together. And it was this group called Mindful Mornings. And I did a talk for these guys one time. this was the best group I've ever done a talk with. The conversations that were started, you always know how your talk was received by the questions you get afterwards. These were some of the finest questions I've ever gotten at a talk ever afterwards. I took notes on the questions people are asking me afterwards. I'm like, you people are fantastic. But then next I get back to Colorado in October, and I'm going to do a talk for the Hospitality Sales Management Association International, their group there in Colorado Springs. We're going to get together at a hotel, and we're going to talk about failure and the benefits of failure. You just never know what groups you're going to get. So it's really fun, though, because generally people are going to tell me, I'm not like a motivational speaker. I'm a professional speaker. Motivation is a byproduct of what I do. But I hear so many people saying, that I really wanted to, I've always wanted to rent a motorcycle and ride up and down the West Coast. And you know what? Your talk, you push me over the hump. I'm going to do this, and I put a deposit down on something like that. That's fantastic. All these bucket list things that people hold on to one day. I hope my talks are impacting people in such a way that yes, they will go after some of those things. They will take advantage of the time that they have, not
right.
always putting things off, not saying, today's the day to be comfortable, tomorrow's the day to, go do something exhilarating and challenging. No, I'm going to encourage you to make the most of your time and be intentional. Be intentional about pursuing those things that you've always wanted to do. Don't put off the trip to Italy. You never know when some global pandemic is going to come in and clobber everything, and now you can't go to Italy, even if you wanted.
Exactly.
I think in light of the whole COVID craziness that's going on, that's kind of wrapping up, if you will, as we're doing this podcast here in 2021. Who knows what comes next, though? But we do know that, boy, people now that they can get back out, now that there's vaccinations and people are starting to relax some of the getting outdoors rules, people are getting out in droves, and they are not doing walking the dog together. They are going zip lining. They are going whitewater rafting. They are doing these bucket list items like they've never done before. Some of the outfitters I know back in Colorado, they're setting records, and I don't mean like a little bit above the last record. I mean doubling the number of people from the last record season they had, just because everyone has suddenly had that check of, my life doesn't go on forever. This
right.
freedom I enjoy, I should not be taking that freedom for granted. I should be taking advantage of these opportunities. I should be more intentional about pursuing these activities. That's generally what I'm getting from people at my talks, which is really, really fun.
That is. That's incredible. So encouraging for you, too, to know that people are actually acting on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's change the way people think, act, and feel about life. Otherwise, we're just entertaining them, and then we all go back to being comfortable again. That's no way to do it.
Eric, the last question I wanted to ask you is what's next for you? And you kind of gave us a little preview just now of places you're going to be speaking and that kind of thing. Do you have any other books in mind?
Well, as of right now, the prayer guide, the 40-day prayer guide series, those are the books we're going to be attacking here for the next bit. You guys both know, as authors, you're always writing the current book, sketching out the next book, and promoting the last book. So even as I'm here promoting, the 40-day guide to salvation, that's our shorthand name for it, we're already working on the next book. The next book is going to be the 40-day prayer guide to praying a blessing for someone.
Ooh,
and
nice.
This book, I tell you what, the editors who got to work on this, I'm like, guys, this is going to be your new favorite book that you got to edit, because this book is about, Lord God, give Patty wisdom today. Okay, give her a vision for, of you in her day with her. Lord God, give her peace, give her joy, give her good sleep. There is, I'm just going to give you this one little quickie here, right? This is day 18. Day 18, you're praying for the person blessings for purpose and direction. And if you don't know how the books work, basically the prayers are written out for you. you insert the person's name in the blanks we give. That's it. Yeah. That's all you do. And then you just read through. And when you do that, it looks something like this. Okay. Let Patty hear your wise counsel and understand how you are directing her. Show her how you have already prepared her with resources, abilities, and everything she needs to accomplish the work that you've prepared in advance for. Make Patty sensitive to your perspective on opportunities that arrive. Show her when you are at work, opening or closing a door with finances, with her career, with relationships, family, health, ministry, and needs in every area of her life. Let godly purpose and direction be a blessing from you to Patty today. Amen. This is the book we're working on right now. Can you imagine someone praying that for like their grandkiddo or for their spouse or their pastor? I mean, come on. These books are just fun. So that kind of thing right there, that's what I'm going to be heads down working on for. We're going to crank out a slew of these books. I don't even know where it'll end. We keep getting more and more ideas for it. So
I want that book. When's it going to be out?
We're hoping to get this one. If we can wrap it up by the end of October, we should have it on Amazon that we can start publishing, kind of promoting it for Christmas.
Nice.
Well, now I know everyone's like, well, October 1 is when you promote stuff for Christmas. I know. I get it. We'll be a little behind the curve on this one. But yes, that Praying a Blessing for Someone will be out before Christmas time. And yeah, grab a copy and make it happen, you guys. It's making prayer, intentional prayer, about as easy as it gets. It's so easy, even I can do it.
Well, and that book is so good for as a gift to read, right, and to use for someone else. But it's also a great gift to give to someone.
Absolutely.
It's got to be out before Christmas, I'm just saying. That is fantastic.
Absolutely. Yes. I love it.
I'm definitely going to order the Praying for Someone's Salvation because I definitely know people that I need to be praying for. So,
you know people that you want to see on the other side, Patty. That's it.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
I know.
That's the thing.
Yep.
That's the thing.
All of us. That's exactly the question I ask. If I ask you, who in your life, when you think of praying for someone's salvation, who do you immediately comes to mind? Everybody has someone, one person, maybe a couple, but everyone has one person who immediately comes to mind. I'm like, there you go. Buy the book. That's the person you pray for. And at the end of 40 days, you're done. God takes it from there.
Or
but
you
what if?
On your list and you do it again.
Exactly. Right? Because you never know when that person, your son-in-law, he got burned by the church early on. He wants nothing to do with it. Thank you very much. And you're just going to pray these little prayers and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, who knows but that one day this kid calls you up and he's asking serious questions. And at the end of the call, he says, what do I do? I'm done. My life is stupid. It's pointless. The purpose is not there. And I see these people around me with joy, and they've got peace, and I want that. How do I make it happen? I want to join Team Jesus. What do I do? And there you are on the phone going, and all I'll tell you is, Patty, if that happens to you, turn to the very back of the book in the appendix. There's a little prayer you can read right there with them, and you'll
mm-hmm.
We didn't leave you hanging.
Well, Eric, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us today. I'm sure Jean feels the same way.
It was such a
joy,
Eric. Thank you.
Love it, you guys. I thank you so much for having me on here. We'll have to do it more than every 2 to 3 years from now on.
Yes, definitely. And I just wanted to mention I'm feeling very sad because today is the last day that Jean and I will be podcasting together. She's moving on with her life with some new challenges. So, Jean, I want to wish you the very best, and I want to thank you for these past 9 months that we have spent together as podcast partners, and may God bless you.
Thank you,
How
Patty.
Fun, Jean. Oh, my goodness.
And thank you for being so gracious to have me as your co-host, Patty. It's been lovely. And yeah, I am accepting a position at the Humane Society. So I expect that I will have plenty more stories coming from that. But it is it's a great calling, and I'm passionate about the organization and what they do. So I'm really looking forward to being a part of it.
Huge congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss your voice. She kept me on my toes.
Patty, you never know what's next for us. I'm just saying, you never know.
That's right.
Indeed.
That's right. Well, Eric, we want to wish you the very best with your travels and all of your adventures and all that lies ahead for you. You have been a blessing to so many people already, and I'm sure you will continue to be. So may God bless you both.
Thank you so very much.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you for spending time with us today. We look forward to having you with us next week. Don't forget to check out pattysheene.com, PattiSheene.com. There you will find links to all of our shows and more information about our guests. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a glare.